services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Episode 291. I'm Adam, and I'm not going to bother with a quote this week because it's the Gunfighters and we've done it before. Now, you may notice there's no one with me yet. That's because after a 10-hour shift at work from 7:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the evening on a Sunday, hasten to add, when I came home, had dinner, had a bath, and came down to do this show, I have had nothing but inundations from people saying, "Where are you?" So apparently I'm not allowed to have a bath before recording the show on a Sunday evening. So we're just going to bring everybody in as you would normally do before we start recording. Just hope everybody behaves themselves. Now, the chief culprit in this is Kirby, who says, "I'm waiting. Well, I'm sorry, I'm having a bath." So I'm just firing up Skype, and for some reason it's asking for me to sign in, even though I use it every blimmin' week, right? Right, should have signed in now. That's that stupid noise to indicate that I've signed in. Let's see who's there, shall we? Who should we add first? Somebody who hasn't been hounding me. Let's try Deborah Melrose.
Good evening.
Oh, and I can't understand a word you're saying, Debbie Melrose.
Why not?
I don't know, it's really weird. I'm going to put my earphones on.
I'm from Yorkshire, get over it. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. You heard that.
Oop, hang on. Right. Now can I understand what you're saying?
Is that better?
Oh, I can hear you now. That's all right. I'll put my headphones in. Right then. This is Debbie Melrose, everybody. I was expecting some sort of quote.
Was I meant to do a quote?
Well, I normally do it at the beginning of the show.
Why, have we already started recording?
I have.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Not yet. We can't say that until everybody's here.
No, I know, but you've already started recording. You started recording. Show it as it is, as it starts and how it goes on.
No. We can't say Happy New Year to people when they're not here, can we?
No, I meant our five listeners.
Ah, ha, ha. Right, let's add somebody else.
All right, do you want me to do my quote?
You can do while Mary arrives.
Okay, hang on a minute. Oh. It is...
Oh, dear, something's gone wrong.
Hello.
Hello. Apparently he's recording, so I'm just about to...
Don't swear, Mary.
Okay. Yes.
If you're involved in a killing, you don't leave messages, you get.
And Mary Lang. Oh, okay, we'll move on. Oh, you're there. Right?
That was too quick. No. You ain't leaving, Doc. Alive, that is.
Oh, Andy Nutty appears to be there, so we had Andy. This would be interesting. He shouldn't have been drinking, as it's January.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, Andy. Oh, and Andy Nunny, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's my bit of paper? Do I need to be quote, don't I?
Yes, that would be useful. This is really slick, but it's mental.
I know. Well, yeah, we won't comment the fact that you're slightly late. Right, hang on a second. Where's my... Don't call me Pops.
I won't.
Good, I'm glad. They've got a bottle of pop here because I've been on the wagon now for a month. Hey ho, such is life.
I don't know if Reese is here, actually.
Reese wasn't earlier, no.
Okay, well, we'll accept that he isn't. And here we go. Oh, do we? Oh, yes, we do.
What?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Oh, he's gone all quiet just when you need him to say something.
Quote.
What, have we started?
He's recording.
No foreplay today.
Last fellow called me that, got himself an extra hole in the head.
And thank you for doing in the traditional Kirby way for the first one of the new year. Yes, hello everybody, and welcome to the Not Allowed to Have a Bath Before Recording the Podcast.
I've had one.
Not allowed to come home from a 10-hour shift at work, have dinner, then have a bath, and then record the podcast. Yes, presented this week by Kirby. Yep. Doesn't allow people to have a bath before recording the podcast, Bartlett Sloan.
No, we didn't allow you to have a podcast. I've had a bath.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, folks.
I can say it now.
Is it a new year?
Debbie, I can say it now, Ben. Yes, you can say it. Debbie, would you like to say Happy New Year to everyone?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Right, okay. Yes, anybody got anything to say after being very naughty and not allowing me to have the time to have a bath?
Yeah, you smell.
Don't, I've had a bath now.
Yeah, you honk from here.
go off, have a bath, come back in half an hour and we'll start
again. Bath, you could
yeah, but Cher won't be here then either.
Anyway, right, yes. Hang on. Let's click on that little thing.
Go off.
Oh, here he goes.
And
he's already had one, Kirby.
I've had a bath. Again. Kirby, I've had a bath. That's the whole point. I was in the bath and you're going, I'm waiting. When I'm in the bath, I'm not going to get out, tackle out, and sit down here and record a podcast.
You weren't supposed to see that.
What? What are you about?
Well, I've only got my dressing gown and slippers on, and I have done this with a towel around my waist before.
Well, I've got my onesie on at the moment, but at the time that I was getting pestered to start the show, I was still in the bath.
I wasn't pestering you.
Oh, yes, you were. If,
you can do it.
If
do it for
Alpha
the bath.
Debbie says you're pestering me, you're pestering me. Would you like to have an argument with her about it? I certainly wouldn't.
Well, if Debbie did it, the recording, you'd have
you
in the bath.
Argument the whole half hour.
With her, it would be the 5 second argument, then followed by the punch in the face. Okay, I'm trying to deflect us from the ongoing subject of this week's new episode. Well, old episode, actually.
It's a new year. And
it's a new series.
New year, old series.
It's a new series of The Journey, but we're back to William Hartnell and The Gunfighters, which, incidentally, is the last story to have individual name titles. Until
I was going to tell
Rose.
You that.
Well, actually, no, because at the moment each story has an individual episode title.
Did you not hear the whole of my sentence then? Do I have to go and rewind it and play it again?
Yes.
Well, I can't. I'll say it again.
The Five Doctors had an individual title for each episode. It was one episode, and it was called The Five Doctors.
You are very funny.
I know.
In certain parts of the world.
Current Doctor has individual titles for each episode.
I just said that. Will you pay attention, Kirby? Do I have to rewind everything so you can listen to what I've just said?
It's nice to know everybody's still getting on with it.
It's New Year's, the old crew.
Yeah.
I can't find my doodah.
Master?
Yes, Kirby?
May I restate things?
Starting
with the Savages.
Yes.
Individual stories had a single title, and then all the episodes were episode one, episode two, etc.
You mean Doctor Who and the Savages?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hurried scribbled sound while Adam crosses that question out.
Yes.
Oh,
or will he?
Anyway, no, I don't know what you're getting at, but I'm getting a bit bored of it now. So let's move on. Yes, The Gunfighters. Hang on, let's stop this thing because it's doing the whole story. I want to do it episodically. So that's a good word to say this time of the evening. Tell I haven't drunk anything this evening because I said the word episodically.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, Kirby?
It's perfect.
Yeah, I know I'm perfect. Thank you, Debbie.
Get yourself something to drink. It'll make you happier.
It doesn't work when you all talk over each other. It really doesn't. But I'd like to hear Mary speak.
I heard what Mary said.
I didn't.
I didn't.
I said, why don't you get yourself something to drink? That'll make you a little happy.
Oh, you think I'm a happy drunk, do you?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Oh, I found him. It's funny to say that. My dinger, my bell, sits on top of
dinger,
a...
Dinger, oh, that's what she said.
My ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling, yeah, very good. Very good. With my ding-a-ling.
I just love the way Mary went, oh! Sounded so Barbara Windsor. Sorry, Dame Barbara Windsor. I beg your pardon. My bell, this one, which Debbie hears quite a lot, yeah, that one, sits on top, just to dampen it a little bit, sits on top of a Mr. Man character I got from McDonald's many years ago called Mr. Happy. Isn't that ironic?
Oh, I love Mr. Man.
And sits on Mr. Happy so it goes like that instead of, if I take it off Mr. Happy, like this. So it's different, isn't it? Doesn't sound the same, does it? On top of Mr. Happy.
Sounds the same.
No, it doesn't. Listen. Can you hear that strange wobbling sound? On top of Mr. Happy.
Have you been drinking again?
Not yet, no, but I do intend to. Once your feedback comes in, I'll go off in the other room and get...
You've been buying drinks from Charlie the barman.
Have I?
Ooh.
Anyway, shall we get on? Yes.
Charlie the barman used to be a Dalek.
No, it's Charlie, yes, he did indeed. And he also used to be in City of Death, and he also used to be Parker in the Thunderbirds series. But we said that last time we talked about this show.
A lot of things we will be saying again.
Okay.
Well, I hadn't seen this, so...
Hadn't you?
Know, no, this is the first time.
Okay.
And I think it'll be my last.
Right. Anyway,
I watch this one at least once a year because it's really, really enjoyable.
Shut up and let's get on with it then.
Bang your head against the wall, then you stop.
I bet you know all the lyrics as well.
Be quiet, Debbie. Anyway, right.
I hope people enjoyed the Dalek versus the Last Chance Saloon that I posted on Facebook.
Loved it.
Haven't seen
that song.
Anyway, so the story starts with the Doctor and his little... Well, actually, it's not. It's with the Clantons arriving in town. Then the Doctor comes out of the TARDIS moaning about his tooth. Oh, God, I got 2 minutes nearly into the episode.
I really interrupted you then as well to point out the laughable English come American accent.
Yeah, but that's just part of the thing. I think they glossed over that by
when we, see the sign for the OK Corral, it has the bullet holes in it that get shot into it a few seconds later.
Does it now? How fascinating. So the Doctor's got a toothache, and Dodo and Stephen change into traditional cowboy garb, sorry.
All of time and space, and he chooses to stick in the Midwest.
Midwest
to have a dental.
Yeah, where there's no anesthetic or anything. But he didn't choose it, though, Debbie. Yeah. They didn't have control of the TARDIS, remember?
I know, but it's still...
Yeah, but then I'd go somewhere else. Yeah. I wouldn't stay there to have my tooth taken care of.
You're probably right, but then... I don't know. Anyway, so, yes, they... The Doctor, they decide to try and find a dentist after Wyatt Earp turns up in the in the barn, I suppose it is. For some reason, Dodo's put a wig on.
The stable.
I don't quite know what that's all about. It was stable. Was it a stable?
It could be a barn. I mean,
it's a stable.
Was it a manger, even?
Well, it was livery and feed store, so it's a bit of both.
Oh, yeah, of course it was, yeah. Anyway, so I'm trying to pick up part of the story. Oh, and then Doc Holliday's girlfriend, she wasn't too bad, actually, was she?
Yeah.
As far as a character goes.
Steve.
Typical of the era.
Yeah, I thought she was okay. I didn't sort of notice her accent that much, really, to be fair. The Doctor goes to have his tooth taken out by the blatantly obvious dentist sign, which is a tooth.
Molar, yeah.
And then, of course, they pick up on the fact that he's called Doctor, so they're Doc Holliday decides he's going to sort of put the Doctor in it a little bit and sort of inflict a little bit of pain on him as well by taking his tooth out with just a slug of some alcoholic beverage of some variety.
Good thing I didn't have my tonsils taken out.
Yes, Kirby.
The forceps that Doc Holliday uses, although they had been invented, they were invented that year in, I believe, England, and would probably not have made it all the way to Tombstone in the amount of time.
Well, there you go. Talking of Tombstone, tell you what, it's a slightly more interesting this story. I was watching on one of the fabulous documentary channels. I think it was National Geographic or something like that. Tony Robinson, Sir Tony Robinson,
did
a brilliant program about the old Wild West and the old 3D photos they used to take in the late Victorian age in the Wild West and stuff to try and attract people to the new frontier. And he visited all these places where, like General Custer's Last Stand and things like that. And he also visited Tombstone. It was fascinating to see him walking around and actually being talked through the actual events of the gunfight that wasn't quite in the OK Corral.
Wouldn't he have... I would say that instead of... darn, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Yes, because what I was saying was so fascinating. Yeah, but that was really, really
good. You had a cunning plan.
No, very good. No, but it was really, really good. If you get a chance to get that on, I can't remember what it was called now. I think it was Tony Robinson's Wild West or something like that. Oh, God, what now?
This episode.
Thanks, Andy.
No, I posted a link to a BBC documentary about the gunfight, OK Corral, which, although it, much more factual than this story.
Yeah,
it was rather boring.
Yes, it was. I know the one you mean because I saw it when it first came out. Yeah, and
I turned it off after half an
Tony hour. Robinson used about 10 minutes of his one-hour show to talk about the gunfight at the OK Corral, but he was also talking about Billy the Kid and all the, you know, the iconic characters of the time, including Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. And it's just really, really interesting, and, you know, seeing the actual photos of these people that are quite, you know, and the photos of the time. I think they got photos of the Clantons in their coffins, how lovely that was, and things like that. But anyway, shall we move on? The episode one of this particular story is basically introducing everybody to the various characters within the tale. Some of the guys playing the cowboys are so irritatingly bad that that's quite distracting.
Well, some of them.
Some of them, yeah. Not every single one. I didn't think the chap playing Wyatt Earp was too bad.
What do you call it? Warp.
Mr. Warp, yeah.
Mr. Warp.
Warp. The thing that got me was how Stephen and Dodo said they couldn't really play the piano, and yet they could play honky tonk.
Yes.
Well, I'm thinking it's a player piano.
Yeah, it must be.
So anyway, so more shenanigans occurs. There's a bit in which
Time around, you guys all complained about the accents of these people.
Well, their accents, yes.
I contend that they could have had some of these accents because people from all over the world would end up in the Wild West with different accents.
Okay, fair enough, but I don't think that really excuses it, to be fair.
I'm over it.
Yeah. They are not very good with the accents, but of course, at this day and age, well, I think even fans of Westerns in the 60s would have thought these accents were bad. But I just love it in some ways that a couple of the actors are trying to be quite Clint Eastwoodish, and I don't know if Clint Eastwood had done any cowboy films by this time, but there's a couple of Clint Eastwood-like or Clint Eastwood homages from, I don't know which ones of these the characters they were, but unless it was
John Wayne.
Unless it was Eastwood paying homage to this story, of course. Which, sprung to mind. Anyway, meanwhile, Dodo sort of gets kidnapped by Doc Holliday and Kate, and I think they make the Doctor a marshal, don't they? I can't remember now, but episode two does end up rather with Stephen and Dodo.
Master.
Oh, God, what?
Clint Eastwood had already made A Man With No Name and A Fistful of Dollars by this point.
There you go.
So they were almost definitely...
A homage, yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm right. I like being right. I do apologize.
Right.
Episode two was not... I'm so hoping to get through this story that episode... Now that the DVD's crashed now, will not allow me to get back into the episode.
It was also in Lady Godiva of Coventry. I don't think he got very much inspiration for that or, you know, really.
Well, Clint Eastwood, bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's a point in which they threatened to hang Stephen.
Poor thing.
Is that after his attempted singing, maybe? I don't know.
And as he's saying, oh, don't do it, Doctor. Don't give yourself up. Yeah, right. I mean, he's really going to do that? Yeah. He'd be crapping himself, wouldn't he?
Then Johnny Ringo turns up, and he looks a little bit like that bloke from The Two Doctors.
The Two Doctors.
And he goes and shoots poor old Parker. I mean, Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
Who amazingly gets rigor mortis very quickly, is able to lie across the bar.
I like the way as well he very carefully puts the bottle down on the bar when he goes,
he's dead.
So it doesn't smash.
Well, he's
obviously... You know, sort of, you think you shot.
No, he lets it pour out.
But he holds on to it.
But he doesn't drop it. He doesn't drop it. He keeps very tight hold of it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
You thought you'd been shot, you'd sort of let go of it. And you wouldn't fall forward. You think you'd be shot. The impact would actually push you backwards.
She would.
Because a bullet's hitting you, it's a spray of knots, would actually knock you backwards.
Yes, it probably would, yes. And yes?
When we see shots of the bar... there's a sign on the back wall that says no shooting. That is actually a flap that can be lifted up so the camera can take certain angles through there.
Oh, okay.
Because they fit so many sets in together.
Well, he went on that particular bit, so I'm pretty sure he said together.
I think he's been shot.
To end his sentence for him. Anyway, right, so, episode three ends with Warren, I think, got shot.
We finished episode three already? This is going to be the shortest podcast ever.
You say that every time.
Yeah, like Warren, a lot of Warren with death. I mean, that's really is sort of, you know, really milking it. Not as bad as somebody else bit for later on, but you know, he seems to be okay, then suddenly, bang, he's gone.
Yeah,
but hey, Kirby, these episodes really are short because a lot of the time is taken up while everybody stands around while we listen to the song.
Yeah. Also, Warren didn't actually get killed during this particular
I think I will watch it again.
I don't think he did.
Did he get killed?
It wasn't Warren, it was Morgan, wasn't it?
No, Morgan never came. What, was his younger brother?
No, Morgan never came. It was Warren who got killed.
Oh, was it? I apologize.
Don't tell Morgan that he didn't. He lost his gun.
I never figured out who was
Virgil
who.
Popped up as well.
Okay. I apologize for the very rare event in which I was wrong. Had to happen at some point.
Okay.
Now, I will completely lose the quest because I did not get the names correct for any of the people at all.
Well, William Hartnell was the doctor, if that's
and Doc Holliday, Kate. But other than that, I don't know which ERP is which.
Well, Wyatt is the one with the tash. Oh, they've all got tashes. Anyway, all right, Wyatt is one of the biggest tash. Probably the easiest way.
Yeah, he got a bit of a surpasser, hadn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, episode four is basically they're all like gearing up for this big meeting with the Earps. Because obviously Warren's got done in, Wyatt Earp's in a bit of a strop, and he's decided to have it out with the Clantons. The Doctor, who had been made Marshal, thank you for that, is able to give back his badge, which gets handed over to one of the other Earps. To Doc Holliday, wasn't it? I can't remember now. No, okay, fair enough. Anyway, and then a little battle ensues where people do a lot of theatrical dying.
There's two things about this. One, I think I made a comment, I think I did feedback before. How many bullets did they have in those guns? You never actually saw them reload their guns. And also, the best one was the one who clearly Sean Bean took his The Death of Boromir inspiration from. You know, like coming out, rolling around, leaning on the wagon, rolling and falling on the floor, then getting shot again. I mean, you know, was he being paid by the minute or something? He wanted to make sure he got as much as he could out of it.
Also, the entire gunfight in this episode takes about 5 times as long, or maybe 10 times as long as the real gunfight, which was 30 seconds.
Yeah, but I suppose it lasted 30 seconds, right? They must all be bad shots.
Or those are some pretty amazing guns that have. That don't need reloading.
Mm.
Yes, Andy just said that.
Anyway, so yeah, they're all dead. They're all dead, and then the Doctor, Dodo, and Stephen leave and change their costumes, and we see that only surviving clip from the Savages. The end. Right. Now, I must say, right, after having watched this episode again, and, you know, I've said quite a lot of things about it in my time, and I have to say that after this particular viewing, it's still an utter load of crap. I'm sorry, it is awful.
It is.
Andy, what do you think of it?
Well, look, I just can't beat what you just said. I mean, there is very little plot. You introduce all the characters in the first episode. They all run around for episodes 2, 3, and 4. And then 3 of them, 4 of them get shot at the end, and that's it. And it's understandable why it was considered the worst story ever. It's got the lowest
AI rating. No, it's not the worst story.
No.
And it's just completely, utterly dreadful. I watched it, Stormageddon screamed the last episode, which is understandable.
Oh, is that it?
Oh. Are you still with us?
Obviously not. Everybody seems to have themselves cut off in mid-flow, don't they? So hopefully, if we listen to Debbie's a rather more relaxed and humble opinion of this particular story, because she's seen it just the once. Oh, he's disappeared completely now.
Ooh.
We might be able to establish some sort of more common ground. Debbie, what did you think of this story?
I obviously had heard a lot about it. Had seen it discussed in a lot of forums, heard it on here, read about it quite a lot, and I've actually read the book version of it.
Oh.
But I was really angry that throughout the whole thing was the song. It was
Doesn't help.
Maybe it would be fine for the beginning of each episode or at the end of each episode as well, but every scene cut, every time you cut to a different situation, it was there.
And I think they thought they were being clever, but they weren't. They were being crap.
It was needless. And I, as I was saying earlier, I think I need to watch it again with a stopwatch and time how long people are actually speaking for without the singing, because I think they could have got the whole episode done in a two-parter rather than a four-parter.
I think they could have done it one, to be fair.
It's one of those stories that I've heard a lot about, and, you know, obviously we did it in American history at school, and it was interesting done like this, but to be performed quite so badly. Did you spill something?
No,
I just realised why you found sounding all muffled, because I had a carry bag over the top.
Well, I didn't enjoy it because of the acting in some parts, where people would just be fluffing their lines and saying it again straight after, and that was like, we've had that before in a few of the earlier series seasons, and of Hartnell. I'm sure he fluffed the Mr. Werp, and then they kept it in because it was
fun. No.
It sounded, because he's the doctor. Why would he mess up Wyatt Earp's name?
Because that's part of his persona to do those sorts of things.
I suppose so, but
that's his acting. That's been well established.
It was like a fluff that they kept in for laughs. That's how it came across. Because the way he said it was so natural, Mr. Werp, and the way the guy playing Wyatt Earp looked at him like, what did you just call me? Was almost to the point where I was like, that was natural. And I think it did feel like it was a fluff. They went, ha, let's keep that in. And it just felt like that. I wasn't expecting much, but I didn't get much in return anyway. So I'm sorry that I just didn't.
You don't have to apologise. You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, I just. No. I watched it all in one go, yes, because I'd done so much over Christmas. I watched it today, so it's still very fresh.
I did really well. I watched it about 3 days ago. I can't believe I actually managed it. But I will say, I did sort of stick it on a little window while doing some work on the Mac, so I had it sort of...
Well, this is it.
There was other things going on, because I knew I wouldn't be able to sit through it.
I was going to sit down and do it yesterday, because Tom and I already know to do something. And I ended up getting called into work, so it was like, oh.
So you were quite relieved.
I watched an episode a day, the way that... I watched it with time between each episode.
I couldn't.
That's how I watched it last time.
Christmas and New Year has been hectic.
But I will say, though,
my opinion didn't enjoy it.
It is crap, but there are some rather charming little snippets.
Where I actually laughed out loud.
Shall I tell you what I like about it? So I think that'd be quite a nice thing. I know we're going to move on to Mary and Kirby in a minute, but I will tell you what I like about it. William Hartnell, I think he's great in it. I love... and it's a shame his time coming to end, but I absolutely loved Peter Purvis. I think he's fantastic. I thought Kate was okay. I thought the chap playing Doc Holliday was okay too, to be fair. But
and Charlie. I liked Charlie.
I didn't like him that much in this. Yeah, I liked him with other things he's done. I didn't like him in this very much.
I would add in the guy who plays Johnny Ringo. I thought he did.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he was good, yeah. But I
like the way that Charlie would hide behind the bar and just kind of rise up and he'd surprise people.
I like the tongue-in-cheekness as well, but that is ruined by, like Debbie says, this music. And no offense, Linda Barron, but maybe just one.
And
little,
he's back.
He's back, is he? Front and sides too.
Yes.
You're disappointed that I got in with that one. Yes, Mary, what did you think?
Well, hey, why not me? Because I'm different.
No, because I'm asking Mary.
Well, this time I'm going to surprise you all.
Uh-oh.
Because watching it, one day at a time instead of all in a go, made it a little more involving than it's really tedious if you watch it, constantly. Yeah. Also, I have been exposed now to...
Hey! Oh, sorry.
I've been exposed to some stories that I had not seen before. So I would not put the gunfighters at the very bottom and say the total thing is rubbish, because I don't think that anymore.
It is, but yes, carry on.
Because now I've seen The Ark, and I've seen The Celestial Toy Maker.
Oh, it is better. It is all right if you look at it in that way.
I would put it above those.
Okay.
And I think that the story is, sort of interesting. And like you said, Adam, some of the performances I think are pretty good. Some are pretty rubbish, but some are really good and enjoyable. And I made an effort to try to kind of block out the song, the repetitive song. I mean, even Stephen has to sing it. you know, which is so awful. And I think that's why everybody hates it. It's
I quite like it, that performance, because he's singing under duress.
Yes.
I think he did it really well.
Yeah, but it's song, I think, for watching four episodes in a row like I did.
Yeah, it grinds you down. It really grinds you down, that repetitive song, if you listen to it all the time like that. And something that I did notice is that there's a similarity between this story and the other one that the author, Donald Cotton, is it?
Yes.
Wrote, which is The Mythmakers, which is all, you know, fun and humor, play on words, everything's jolly. Last episode, dead serious, everybody dies. So it kind of mimics, you know, that same pattern. So,
isn't it a shame? Perhaps we could swap this for The Mythmakers, you know, get rid of the gunfighters and have The Mythmakers back.
No, I wouldn't be without any. I wouldn't be that without any Doctor Who story.
No, so I have
if they did that, I'd be disappointed. I wouldn't be able to see the gunfighters, because it's there. You know, I know I don't like it, but I don't want to substitute one Doctor Who story for another.
Yeah, but I dislike Celestial Toymaker and the Ark even more.
Ooh, I love the Ark.
So Gunfighters has actually risen in my estimation. So there you are.
Hey.
Okay, go on then, Kirby.
As everyone knows, I am contrary. Who's breathing into their microphone?
Probably Andy. That would be sort of the tradition.
I'm contrary. I like this story. When I was a kid, probably around the time that this was being broadcast, all we had on TV all the time were things like Gunsmoke and Bonanza and all those things, and I found those rather boring. This is much more fun. I just enjoy William Hartnell's performance. There's a lot of really good jokes, tongue-in-cheek performances, plays on words, and I'm not even bothered by the song that much. So
I'd actually agree with that. Sorry.
I'm contrary. And by the way, on the original Mighty 200 list, this is number 175. But I disagree with a lot of the original Mighty 200 list anyway, because it's got some of my favorites ranked below this.
So pretty bad then, on the whole scheme of things.
Well, it's got things like Delta and the Bannerman rated below this. Delta and the Bannerman is one of my
really
favorites.
Good, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Much better than the Gunfighters. Okay.
So, yes, I agree with that. I didn't say this is one of my favorites. It's just it's not as horrible as people try to make it.
Okay.
It'll be interesting when we finally finish the journey and I figure out where this one does sit. Because it's probably gonna be low.
Very low.
But it's to me, there is no really bad Doctor Who.
No, there isn't. But I'll tell you what, I'm just reminded of something I've been lambasted for, saying that the last episode of Doctor Who, the most recent one, a Christmas special, was my favourite. I think somewhere along the line I might have said it was the best. I don't remember saying that.
I remember saying you did.
Okay, I did. Okay, well, maybe I got just in the heat of the moment. But it is my favourite Doctor Who story of all time. I accept that it's probably not the best, because I don't think there is a best, because everybody has their own opinions on things.
Favourite of all time. It's my personal episode.
Pardon? No, my favourite episode or story of all time at the moment.
Of all time, okay.
At the moment. I can't say that. That may well change, but
yeah.
It's certainly something that I had the most emotional impact on me, because it had the most emotional impact on me, that therefore rates very highly. It got me the most engrossed in a story that I didn't drift. Sometimes every Doctor Who story, I sometimes drift away and have to watch it again and again to pick up things I may have missed. But not with this one. I was glued to it from start to finish. So that makes it my favourite story at the moment. But I accept that maybe saying it was the best might have been a little bit overly passionate at the time I recorded the show.
That's how I interpreted your.
But other people have lambasted me for that particular opinion. But I will say that there are other Doctor Who stories that aren't far behind it that I also have great passion and adoration for. City of Death is great, but I personally prefer Pirate Planet.
Yes.
Because it was one, it was all Douglas Adams, and two, K-9 was in it. and I love K9. And the Jelly Babies.
I think the only reason that I flipped those the other way is because several of the Douglas Adams jokes were in Pirate Planet were repeats of things that he said in Hitchhikers. And that dropped it a little bit because why couldn't he come up with some new material?
Maybe because he wasn't that good. But I'll tell you what, Pirate Planet is. And
that
performance by Tom Baker when he asked what was the point of it, which is fantastic. Yes. Anyway, why did you say Master? What have I done there?
Back to the song. Of course, we're talking the singer of the song was Linda Barron.
Yes.
Who later was in two other episodes.
Yes, she was, yes.
She was Captain Rack in Enlightenment. I really enjoy Enlightenment. That's good.
I tried to watch the movie version of that and fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't like those long versions like that. I watched the movie version of Netflix
this morning.
Pardon? What did you say?
I watched the movie version of The Daleks.
Oh, right, yes.
And Dalek Invasion Earth.
Oh, yes, you said, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the picture. Okay. One of these days you need to find where I believe it was the people that did Mystery Science Theater 3000 did those two movies, the two Peter Cushing movies.
Okay.
Back to Linda Barron. I loved it when she showed up again in 2011. In Closing Time.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I've got a burp coming.
Oh, dear.
Why warn us?
Pardon me.
Why not?
Because I wasn't going to say anything because it was brewing up. I couldn't speak because if you thought I'd talk really quiet.
Just turn away from the microphone.
I did move away from the microphone. Oh, sorry, not your microphone, but the one I'm speaking into, I did. Anyway, I just wanted to say, right, Andy, are you back?
No, we've lost Andy again.
Oh, doesn't he want to stay with us?
No.
I know he did say that his internet's gone down. Anyway, right.
That's usually my problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of semi your problem at the moment, but we're getting through things at the moment. Right. Oh, hang on. Why is this? Hang on. Let's see what happens if I.
Called AT&T last week and. They said that they should have faster lines out here inside of the next 2 years.
I thought you were going to say that it takes 2 years.
That long to talk.
I was
going to
say
you.
Next decade.
But I looked up Comcast, and yeah, the prices initially are pretty good, but the prices after 6 months are beyond our means. So
but with them for 6 months.
You can't. You have to contract your contractor for a longer period when you do stuff like that. Anyway, I just wanted to report to our listeners who may be unaware because they may not be members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, that our dear friend, Reese Parton, has become a daddy. We were talking about it last week, weren't we? Expecting the baby to be born mid-January. But no, the baby is here now. So congratulations to Reese on the birth of Colin.
Yeah, Reese and Hay and Robin.
Oh, shut up. I was trying to crack a joke then.
Yeah, I bet you were.
So now we won't see him anymore on the 20 megabyte. He'll be too busy.
Well, no, he'll come Andy back. Manages it. That's what she said.
He doesn't like to watch Classic Who.
No, he doesn't actually. No, but I think he's watched this one before anyway.
I wish we could get Matthew in because he likes Classic.
Yes.
But he's always busy on Sundays.
He's busy acting.
Yes. But I was trying to congratulate Reese, but you lot decided, as per usual, to whiz off in different tangents in the middle of a very heartfelt congratulations from myself.
That's our job.
No, it isn't. Not when we're congratulating co-presentants or presentants. Presenters on birth of babies called Robin. And I was trying to say it was called Colin. I was just going to try and drum up a bit of a reaction from you lot, but you had decided to completely ignore me and talk over me when I was trying to crack one of my fantastic jokes. Yes, so.
Ha, 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 ha. There.
Now, how do you pronounce that? Is that Haya or Haya?
I think it's Haya.
Haya. But how do you pronounce the name, though? Pardon?
Haya, I think.
Haya, okay. Now, you changed your name.
I see that in honor of the new baby's name, that Rob Lansdowne is now...
Changed it to Robin, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Reese loved that, by the way. Yeah, I think he did. But yes, great. Congratulations. Another 20 megabyte baby. Yes?
Ben is still Debbie on Skype.
Yeah, well, us are paying homage to a beautiful lady.
Your wife is gorgeous.
Oh,
and I will come round with your
presents. Sneaking away from my jokes again. Stop jumping in and spoiling my punchlines. Right. We actually have, while we're on the subject of new members of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who, Too Much Sherry Facebook group, which you can join. We have new members. And so why did you say, hang on a minute, did you want to find out who they were? Oh, she's gone. They're all disappearing. They're leaving me. Because we have a new member in the shape of Hayley Miranda Stuva. Where does she live? Shall we find her address? Must be able to get it on Google somehow.
Yeah, watch out.
What?
We'll look you up.
No, I can't find it. But yeah, she's clearly a Doctor Who fan. So welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, Hayley. You may be unaware this is a podgrass group, so you're supposed to listen to the show.
Podgrass?
Shut up, Kirby. We have... Hang on, let's get back. Press the home button and then press this button here, which takes me to another thing. We have another application to join the... the group. It's from a chap called Adrian Paris. Ever heard of him, Kirby?
No.
He lives quite close to you in somewhere called Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, that's right. That's right down the street.
Yeah,
it's about 3 days down the street.
It says USA. You live in the USA, don't you? Yeah, anyway.
Last I checked.
Yeah, he's got a sort of steampunk version of R2-D2 is his profile picture. Bloody hell. He's got a picture of someone's got a TARDIS shed with a Dalek standing out. That's an actually superb shed. I think that picture in itself.
It sounds like one of us.
Yeah, it sounds automatic.
One of us. Yeah. Oh, this guy's friends with several of the Staggerers, so yeah. He's okay.
Yeah, he's just been added to the group.
So for a couple of minutes, Isla needs my attention. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay, my little darling. Oh, that's Debbie. She's lovely, isn't she?
It's all about Isla. What are you, a mother?
So welcome one and all to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who. That's the first new member of 2016 to the group.
Right. Yay.
It's like having a baby in the new year.
Well, no, we had a baby. Oh, I see. You mean that Robin's the newest member of the group? Now you're confusing me.
Oh, Master?
Yeah.
First member.
While we're stalling for time, while Debbie's...
I'm not stalling for time. I don't know what you're trying to imply.
Of course, you didn't watch the Sherlock Christmas...
Not yet. I've recorded it, but I intend to watch it at some point.
Wait, I thought you didn't like Sherlock.
Well, this is different. This is Sherlock Holmes Sherlock rather than Sherlock.
Well, it helps to understand Sherlock, the modern day version, because it's intrinsic to the plot. Anyway,
so I won't bother watching it then. Thank you, Kev. I'll get it deleted as soon as I possibly get a chance.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Anyway, there is
no spoilers.
No, this isn't a spoiler. As Julia and I were watching it last night. There's one of the places that they use in the Victorian segments. We looked at each other and said, "Oh, that's the house from Hyde."
Well, there you go.
From two seasons ago,
I wouldn't have spotted that probably because I haven't seen it. So there you go.
Well, you'll recognize it.
Thank you. Anyway,
verify it.
I don't know.
Did you look it up and verify it?
Yes, of course.
Well, that's a silly question, Mary.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, there's been a new Star Wars film out. Has everybody seen it?
Oh, yes. Twice so far.
Pardon, Mary, didn't quite catch that over the enthusiastic.
I'm just saying yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Quite enjoyed. I watched it yesterday. I don't know if Andy's
seen it. For the first time?
Yes, for the first time. What's wrong with that? I haven't had time to see it in any other time.
Yes.
So did you have to go over to the mainland to watch it? Are there movie theaters on the island?
Anyway, I had a little bit of an issue with it that one of the Star Wars buffs at work got quite cross about because when I said I wasn't entirely impressed with how quickly Finn was able to handle that lightsaber. when Luke Skywalker, the super Jedi, took a little while to get his hands around the thing. And suddenly Rey was able to handle the lightsaber in even more amazing way after only having
touched it
once.
Well, there's a reason she can. But...
because she's more powerful with the Force, blah, blah, blah. And she's obviously Luke Skywalker's daughter. No spoilers there, because it's my opinion.
Skywalker had the Force with him too, but he didn't. He had to learn.
Yeah, to learn, yeah. So that's my point. That's the only thing that wasn't quite...
I think that we are being led to believe that she's his daughter. I don't believe
so.
She
but
is.
Everything else has been quite predictable, like a certain death of a certain character. That was blatantly obviously going to happen somewhere along the line. And the way it happened was so predictable.
It was.
I won't say it wasn't... I still enjoyed it. It was all Star Wars-y, and it was very in keeping with the way this, all the films have been. I'm not too sure.
It was so much better than episodes 1, 2, and 3.
I'm not too sure I like Abrams'
You mean the new episodes,
direction.
1, 2, and 3.
I'm talking about... Yeah, I'm talking about Phantom Menace.
Certainly better than number one.
Those were rubbish.
Number one is not very good at all. Number two is not too bad. Number three is getting better. I think they gradually get better as they go through. But this is actually very, very good. I quite enjoyed it. It was typical, really, Star Wars stuff. Lots of battles, lots of calm bits. Lots of battles, lots of calm bits.
Oh, yeah. It's very much like the original ones.
And it was lovely to see all these old characters gradually appearing in it.
Did you catch where Daniel Craig was in it?
No, I didn't. But he was behind a stormtrooper's mask. So how are you supposed to do that then?
Because his voice was very definitely Daniel Craig.
Okay, if you say so.
You'll notice it better when you watch the second time. He's the stormtrooper that Rey gets to release her.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. I'll look into that one. But on the whole, really enjoyed it. I'm sure there was something else I was going to report.
Why is Daniel Craig in such an obscure role?
Because he wanted to have some fun.
okay.
But there were a few Doctor Who actors in it. But I can't remember who they were now.
It was British made, yes.
Yes, and lots of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. there was one other issue I had with it, and I can't remember what the issue was now. That's a bit irritating, isn't it?
But on it was the whole... a repeat of episode 4.
What?
It was a complete rehash of the very first movie.
Was it?
What do you mean? Sort of. Raised on a desert planet, suddenly discovers they have the Force.
Yeah, but Luke had the
there's
family.
A map that's being something's being hidden inside of a droid, and hotshot pilots.
And
Death Star, and a third Death Star.
Who's the equivalent of Obi-Wan Kenobi, though?
It's the Sun Killer, isn't it?
Hmm.
Star Killer. Well, that was. If you don't know the background with Star Wars, Luke's original name was Luke Starkiller.
I know.
So that was what's going on there.
I don't know. I leave for 5 minutes because I've got crampy legs. And we've gone from a Doctor Who podcast to a Star Wars podcast.
I was just remarking the fact that...
It's not my fault this
find
time.
Find out if everybody's seen it, and they have. Anyway, right, now we've got time for... It's time for a bit of feedback. And I mean a little bit...
Hello, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Get here.
This weekend, I've been doing some painting around my flat. I was going to rewatch The Gunfighters, but I watched paint dry instead. I seem to remember that we reviewed The Gunfighters not all that long ago.
2 years.
The ballad was fine during the first episode, but became a torment as the story progressed. The Wild West is a strange choice to look for a dentist, if you can choose from all the space and time.
Yes.
But this is a comedy played straight. The acting is good, but the accents are not.
Rabbit, 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 rab You got taste.
All right.
Bye for now.
All right. Should I point out, continue my embarrassment and point out why the rabbit joke?
You'll have to now.
I posted last night a screen capture with the info text. Says, despite the name, the jackrabbit is a type of hare. And I asked someone British, please explain why this info text caption is necessary. Of course a jackrabbit is a type of hare. Why despite the name? I was...
being a bit
dull? For some reason, I had forgotten that hares are not rabbits. Okay.
So. Still quite amusing, though. I didn't get involved in that one, Kirby. I saved your embarrassment. I just knew that somebody would, do it for me somewhere along the line.
Well, Alan Butcher says not that I'd be one to split hairs.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Right. I wish Andy was here. That was it. Thanks, everyone, for your feedback and everything.
Is there no feedback? There's got to be some other feedback.
Well, Debbie's going to look on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, Paige, to see if there's anything interesting on there. Aren't you, Debbie?
I am.
She's lovely, isn't she?
Andy said Stormageddon cried a lot.
Hey?
But he said that it's feedback. Oh, but he said that already.
He did.
Billy Kirkbright is showing a picture of William Hartnell in pain in the dentist chair. Says, is this the look of someone who endured the entire story of the Gunfighters?
Yes.
And nobody has actually posted anything.
No. Well, that, I think, says it all, doesn't it?
No. Really? Billy Kirkbright actually has posted something.
I have to say, Billy
probably because he already posted on the original broadcast.
When he drops away.
Yeah, go on then. What did Billy Kirkbright say?
He said, I'm going to need to eat my words, bearing in mind the concept of time travel means the producers can explore any genre and explore any aspect of fantasy, and the story is a prime example. The story failed, in my opinion, because it was dead boring. With that said, though, I endured it far better than the lows of the contemporary series.
I literally pulled that up as you started reading it out.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Ba-dum-ching.
Guess what it's time for now?
Oh, God.
No! It's this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't
either.
Adam wins.
Where's that? Where's Andy?
He's gone.
Somebody's got to help us through this.
We're not even talking about it for an hour.
I'll stop moaning. Right, the first question goes to Kirby.
What's that?
What is the title of the first episode of The Gunfighters?
Holiday for the Doctor. Debbie. Seeing that I posted a picture of that.
Be quiet. Don't get any points for these bits of slapping yourself on the back for your cleverness.
No, but that's what I do.
Yes.
And it is.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Where does the TARDIS materialise in Tombstone?
It materializes inside the livery and feed store.
Mary.
Yes.
What did the Doctor think that Stephen and Dodo looked like in their Wild West clothes?
Ooh.
No.
Don't know.
Ah, good. Anybody else?
Yes.
Go on then.
Oh, yes. I don't think I wrote it down.
That's a bit silly.
Oh, yeah. They look like Tom Mix.
Excellent. The answer was absolutely absurd, is what the Doctor said.
Yes.
Mary. Oh, that was your question, wasn't it?
Oh,
I did forget to mention, of course, that at this point, I should have done this before we started, but I'm going to do it now. Right, predictions of who's going to win the quiz. Right, then, Kirby.
Master.
I've got to think something from Andy. What did he say? Oh, he's crying. And now he's saying Broadband's playing up.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, hang on. Right, yes. Yeah, so, Kirby, who do you think is going to win the quiz?
Master.
Me.
Master.
Yes, okay, all right.
Yes.
Right then. Debbie, who do you think is going to win the quiz?
You.
made this mistake last time. Mary, who do you think is going to win the quiz?
Debbie.
And me, who do I think is going to win the quiz? Kirby.
No.
Okay, right, moving on. Right then, Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
What cowboy name did Stephen give himself?
I know.
Stephen Regret.
Hang on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right, this is for Kirby. Oh, what? Dear. Oh, hell. Sorry, it's just gone in straight to iTunes.
Which is it?
I know what it is. Debbie said first.
Like, no, sorry, what did you say, Kirby? Let's get this clear, because I've lost the track.
Stephen Regret, but apparently it's wrong.
Yes, it's a definite. So I get that. And Debbie, you said?
Deadeye Steve.
Yeah.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's Debbie. Sorry. Debbie.
Yes.
What character links Charlie the bartender to Thunderbirds?
Parker.
Wow. I would never have been able to guess
I
that.
Wouldn't have gotten that one.
Well, I did say it during the... Oh,
I went hunting for it as well.
Yeah, not funny. I did say it earlier on in this show. You don't listen.
Yes, you did. But
if I see them highlighted on Wiki, I tend to go searching as well.
I watched Thunderbirds when I was a kid, but I don't remember the characters' names.
I never watched Thunderbirds.
Right, am I...
I've
lost the plot as to whose question that
it
one was.
It was mine.
Right, so yes. This is Mary's question.
Yes.
How did the Doctor introduce Stephen to Wyatt Earp's men?
I know.
I know he called them traveling players.
So what's the answer then that you're going to give me?
Is this where the Stephen Regret comes in?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, the scores then after these questions are in last place is Kirby and Mary with 2 points. In second place with 3 points is me, and in the lead with 5 points, it's Debbie.
I'm betting on Debbie.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Oh, by the way, if you would have got an extra point if you said Stephen Regret Tenor, because that was the full answer. That
I had that written down.
Well, you don't get any points, you didn't say it at the right time.
I know.
Right. When the Doctor goes off to get his tooth seen to, where does he arrange to meet Stephen and Dodo?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Yes, know. Debbie?
The hotel lounge.
What's that on my bell?
Oh, okay. No. I love that.
Debbie?
Yes.
Wait, no. Okay, yeah, it is her turn. Never mind.
No, it is. Right, I've lost where I was now. Oh, yeah. All right, Debbie, what does Doc Holliday offer the Doctor to drink as a substitute for anaesthetic?
A wrap on the cranium? No, that's not the drink. Snake bite. Yeah.
Oh, dear. It would be Point deducted for saying the answer after... that's wrong anyway. You got it. That's the wrong answer.
It doesn't matter, does it?
That's wrong. Does anybody want to come up with the right answer?
Yeah, doesn't he offer him whiskey?
Excellent. Right. No, it was rattlesnake. Thank you very much. I'll have those points. Right, Mary.
Wait, huh? Well, someone explain.
He offered a slug of rattlesnake. Anesthetic. Rattlesnake liquor or something, or juice. Yeah, rattlesnake juice.
Okay.
Yes, Kirby.
Master.
Which Clanton brother...
Wait, had... I come after Debbie.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Kirby's fault for interrupting me. Mary.
Yes. Yes.
Which Clanton brother had been killed by Doc Holliday?
Ooh.
I don't have that one.
The funky gibbon. Oh, sorry. It's the Hair Bear Brunch.
I know.
Shoot. I guess I didn't write it down.
Shoot, yes, he's shot him.
Yeah.
So, are you going to give me
so
an
I don't know.
Okay, good. Excellent, well done. Yes, Debbie?
Brother Reuben.
Right, the scores after those questions are, in last place, with 2 points each, it's Kirby and Mary. In first place, with 7 points each, me and Debbie. Right, maybe Kirby.
Master.
What is the Doctor's drink of choice in the saloon?
Oh, I know.
Milk? I don't know. What? I'm right?
I love the fact that when they, when Dodo and the Doctor meet up later, they're chatting over a glass of milk each.
Yeah, they are.
All right, Debbie.
Yes. Well, she's supposed to be underage.
Yes.
Debbie, what does Wyatt Earp call the Doctor causing him irritation?
Pop.
All right, Mary.
Yes.
What famous outlaw names does Kate drop when she talks about the people she's known? Get a point for each.
Well, Jesse James and Johnny Ringo. But the third one, I don't remember.
Right, so,
I think I know that one.
I think I know.
Debbie said, I think I know first. Go on then, Debbie.
Billy the Kid.
Yes, I was going to say that, but I need to lose.
Not necessarily. Right, so that was, who was that originally? It was Mary's question originally, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is therefore Kirby's question.
Master.
What famous... Oh, I've done that one, sorry. Right, how long is the Doctor given to come out or Stephen gets hanged? Or swings, as they said in the strip.
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
Excellent. Debbie?
2 minutes.
Right. Debbie?
Yes.
Who kills Charlie the bartender?
I know.
Ringo.
Sorry, nobody could hear what Debbie said then. What did you say, Debbie?
Johnny Ringo.
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
What does the Doctor think is a disgusting habit?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think I know.
Don't remember.
Right, unfortunately, it means that Debbie gets the answer.
Spitting.
What did you say?
Spitting.
Ding! Oh, do that again, Debbie. Do that again. Right, whose question was that one?
It was mine.
All right, so a bit of a score update. Right, last place in with 4 points each, Mary and Kirby.
Why can't I drop lower?
In second place with 9 points, me. And in the lead with 14 points, it's Debbie. Right, this is Kirby's question.
Asta?
Which character has a stutter?
I don't know. I told you, I don't know these various characters.
It's one of three.
Right, anybody else with the answer?
Is it Phineas? Oh my God.
Goodness gracious, you got that right off.
Right, Debbie.
Yes?
In real life, which of the Earps was killed during the year of the gunfight?
In real life?
Yes.
Ooh. Was it?
This is the point I was trying to make that Warren didn't get killed.
Oh, was it Virgil?
Battle.
No.
Hang on. That's, so it's. Anybody else?
Well, that only leaves Wyatt.
Warren.
I'm getting points for all of these.
The one that wasn't there.
Yeah, there's a fourth one.
I'm picking up points left, right, and centre. Anybody else want to come up with the wrong answer?
No.
Ma.
The pa.
First one to get it right gets a point. One more go.
Nope.
None of them is the answer. None of the one of the Earps died during the year of the gunfight.
Trick question.
Okay, who's that question for originally? It was Debbie's, wasn't it?
I don't think so. It's mine, yeah.
Right, Mary.
Yeah.
What was the reward on the poster for the capture of Johnny Ringo?
I know.
Oh, $1,000?
Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What time of day is the meeting at the OK Corral scheduled for?
Sun up.
I'll give you that with sunrise, but that's better.
Oh, why it sends him off saying
time. Although it did not actually occur then.
We know this.
3 p.m.
Yes, right. Debbie.
Yes.
How old is Peter Purvis now?
Whoa.
74?
Excellent.
By the way, I never saw Captain Kirk or Chekhov or any of them. They should have been hanging around.
Yeah,
you said this last time.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't there for it last time.
Right, hang on. Anybody would like to come up with the right answer? Hang on, I just got to look at them on Wikipedia because these questions are a couple of years old.
I wasn't going. Oh, were these the same questions?
No.
Yes, they are. Quick, get back.
Honest answer.
Yeah, go on. Anybody come on
for that again?
Excuse me. Like, there's still a point available.
How would we know this just from watching the episode?
But you don't. It's just a bit of triv. From getting try and work it out.
I would normally
you try and work it out from
Kirby right now.
Try and work it out from the year in which the story was done.
I mean, I can cheat and look.
And how old Stephen's character might be. And so, who's right? I'm going to give myself a point because you lot are playing
it's up. 76.
You looked it up, Kirby.
Yes, I did.
So did you.
Yeah, I looked it up in order to ask it.
Oh, point for Kirby then. Right.
Thank you, sir.
Right. I've lost where I am now. Who's
you're the one who said, look it up.
Who was the last question for?
That was for me.
Right. Mary?
Yes.
Maurice Good played Phineas Clanton, but is he dead or is he alive?
Oh, I remember this. I don't remember the answer.
Huh. You mean at the end of the episode?
No, the actor.
No. The actor.
Oh, the actor. I see. Golly, I'd say he's alive.
You'd be. Who'd say he's alive? Well, wrong answer. He's not alive. I've just lost the notes for the scores. I wish way round does it go? I've got last week's on there as well. Right, so point to me, yes. Right. Anybody want to go? There's still a point available.
Well, I mean, the only other answer is
well, nobody's coming up with it. Right, I'm going to give myself a point for that one as well because you lot couldn't work out what the opposite to alive was. Right, okay, Kirby.
Master.
Oh, by the way, that's for me. Yeah, that's the first one I've ever got in this. This show, apart from when Debbie was the quiz master and I had to answer the questions, by the way. Right, Kirby. Right, how old is Jackie Lane?
I'm going to have to look it up again.
These aren't fair.
Four,
we don't know any of this.
Three,
I've not got Wiki up. I don't know.
74.
Oh, I suppose you... Oh, what's happened there? That went funny. That's better. Right.
I want to picture whatever it is you've got your bell on top of because I didn't recognize what it was.
Now, if Mary said that, it would be really, really funny. Debbie, calm down.
What?
Get back on your seat. God, who's that last question for?
That was mine.
All right, so therefore, this is Debbie's question.
Okay. Right.
Shane Rimmer played Seth Harper, but is he dead or alive?
Oh, he's dead.
Right.
Okay, I don't know. I haven't got Wiki up. It's one of two.
Anybody like to come up with the right answer?
Alive.
Not you.
Alive. He's alive.
All right, point for Mary.
This is
weird.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
How old is Shane Rimmer?
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Okay, he's 82.
I know.
Shut up, Kirby. Yeah, go on. Go on, Mary.
I said he's 82.
Are you giving me a point? Thank you very much. Yeah, go on in, Kirby.
86.
I expect you're probably right. It was nearer than 82 anyway.
82 is wrong, but 86 is probably
well,
right.
Well, last year is 84, like when we did previously did this quiz. And Kirby said that was 2 years ago. So, right then.
Yes.
So the current scores, with hardly any questions left, thank God, are in last place with 7 points, Mary. In third place with 10 points, Kirby. And joint leaders, so second and first place, with 16 points each, and me and Debbie. This is Kirby's question.
Master.
Bartender Charlie was played by David Rimmer, but is he dead or alive? This might have changed.
David Graham.
Yeah, I meant David Graham.
He's alive.
Yeah, that's right. It's a misspelling on this question sheet. Shut your face.
More than misspelling.
Yes, I know. Debbie.
Yeah.
Oh, my girl.
What's the matter?
Oh, I'm worried it's another dead or alive question.
Is H dead or alive?
Well, if I say, is David Rimmer dead or alive? I
have a program with my father, and all he does is goes, he's dead, he's dead.
It's quite funny because whenever a character, I try and lighten things up to stop Isabella getting upset on things. Sometimes when characters get killed off, so I just go dead like that. And during a certain event on a certain movie we watched yesterday, when somebody plummeted after being, you know, with a sort of lightsaber swordy thing, Isabella turned me in the cinema and went dead.
they don't so much fly as plummet.
Plummet, yes.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping he had a bomb attached to him.
Right, so whose question was this?
Mine.
Right, how old is David Graham?
I know.
Oh, Lordy.
79.
70? Right. How old do you reckon he was in 1966 then, Debbie? That's wrong. Right then, Kirby?
Because he's either 90 or 91.
It's, well, come up with an answer.
Well, they don't have an exact... He has not revealed if he was born in 24 or 25.
Well, according to my sources, it does reveal. So what are you going to go for?
91.
Okay. Oh, dear, that didn't play properly, did it? Shall we play that again?
We hear the mouse clicking. We know we got it wrong before it comes up.
Yeah.
Right, there's a free-for-all question. Just one. Okay, I'll give you a score update, by the way, before we have this free-for-all question. In last place with 7 points, it's Mary. In third place with 12 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 16 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 18 points, it's me.
Yay!
Okay.
Yay, we won.
Last question, free-for-all. Victor Caron played Virgil Earp, but is he dead or alive?
He's alive!
Oh, dear Mary. And you're supposed to shout out, I know, but that's a point to me.
Surprise.
Now, anybody else want to come up with the right answer?
He's dead.
Well done, Debbie.
I'm getting the hang of this now.
Right. And a double bonus question. What year did he die in? Nearest one to the
1979.
That's wrong. I'm not going to give myself any points for this. And the nearest one to it gets 2 points. Right, so 1979 is wrong. Right then, Debbie.
1975?
No, Kirby.
I have no idea.
Oh, come
2000.
On. No, you're not in that Kirby, are you? Come on, come up with the year.
1982, I don't know.
That's near enough. It was 1981. So, for Kirby. So, the final scores, I'll just have to tote them up. Before it's not the final scores, it's the final quiz scores before we come up with the result.
Have to tote them up.
Eh?
You said I just have to tote them up.
What's wrong with that?
Yes, he did.
What's wrong with that?
Tote's fine, mate.
Is it? I don't know what you mean. What are you trying to imply? You're being cheeky.
You can tell you've got teenage girls in your house.
Tote is a word I've used for quite a lot of my life. Thank you very much. Right then, the scores then. This is not final scores because we have our little twist to add to this. Right then. 7 points for Mary in last place at the moment. In third place with 14 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 17 points, it's Debbie, who rather threw it away somewhat. And leading at the moment with 19 points is me. But Kirby and Debbie predicted that I would be ahead at this stage. So their points are doubled to... I'll tell you in a minute. Mary didn't predict. She predicted Debbie and I predicted Kirby. So all our points stay the same. So the new and final scores for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. In last place with 7 points was Mary.
Yay!
In third place with 19 points was me. In second place with 28 points... was Kirby, and the winner this week with 34 points, it's Debbie.
Yay!
Yay. Hi, Debbie. So now the Debbie one, does that mean that the points go up?
Yeah. Yeah, it can keep going.
Were you being a bit naughty then?
About wanting my points doubled? I still lose. I'm still at the bottom.
No, no, no. You know how that works. It's out of the quiz part of the show. I'm sorry. So don't go another bet. Oh, and now that makes Debbie the winner, so I win on that one. And that makes someone else a winner, so I win on that one. Sorry, that doesn't work.
It really doesn't change my position at all.
Because I could manipulate it so I win. But unfortunately, I was stupid enough not to vote for myself.
You do manipulate it so you win.
Well, I didn't this week, did I? I went completely pear-shaped. I should have voted for myself.
So I can put the Gunfighters DVD away and not bother with it for another year.
Hopefully
or two.
So. But I will say, right,
the
reason why I voted for Kirby to win, because obviously these were exactly the same questions that were on the previous version of this
tournament. Considered listening to...
I thought he was going to listen to them and make a note of all the answers. So that's why I would have thought Kirby would have won.
Normally I would, except this past week has been kind of leisurely, and so I haven't listened to any podcasts.
Okay, well, I've got a little job for Ian Kirk. Ian, go back and listen to our original version of this show and see who won the quiz that time, or what the scores were, for that matter. Just be interesting to see.
I might have made a note who won.
What? What do you mean you might have?
Let me check my spreadsheet. There was a period where I was keeping track of that.
Good grief. Oh, you really do have too much time on your hands. Okay, we have sponsors. Now, I had a message back from Melinda, who is just to reveal the fact that lavazi.co.uk will continue to sponsor the show throughout 2016.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm on their page. They've sold out of a few
as
bits.
Long as Debbie works for free.
Yeah.
During that. I'm only joking. I didn't say that bit.
I will if you like.
Yeah, anyway. Yes, and for that, you can go on their website and buy some stuff. Like
nice stuff.
Very,
yeah,
very,
nice.
Very, 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 very nice stuff. And, of course, if you love the show enough, you can buy us all stuff as well.
Yeah, I've got my eyes on the Pandorica Open scarf now, so there you go.
But my favourite scarf, the Burgundy Series 18 scarf, is currently on offer at £29.99.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's gone down.
So who stuff at Lavazi? No, Sherlock's stuff as well, actually. But yeah, have a look.
Oh, that was good.
Lavazi.co.uk. Our other sponsors, I walked past the shop on the way to the cinema yesterday. But they were shut, so I couldn't go in. And Deb would never let me go in there anyway. She would say, come on, we've got to get our seat in the cinema. yeah, whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It's whowon.co.uk.
Yeah. Latest products, Fall to Earth by James Goss. That's a sky puncher in his first private space flight, but... Ephraim Salt's visionary project has gone horribly wrong. The ship is falling out of the...
Okay. Who is this person?
It's Torchwood. Yes, Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who, Kirby.
You've got the yearbook there as well. It's only £6.
I was quite disappointed. I went into Barnes & Noble yesterday, and they had two issues of Doctor Who magazine, both of which were so old, it was ridiculous.
Well, Kirby, if you go to whowon.co.uk... and buy it from there, you will get it much sooner, and it will be more up to date.
Yeah, but
and I do want to say that
who has money?
I have heard Fall to Earth, and it is very good.
Thank you, Mary. There's also some other bits and bobs coming out soon, and available to pre-order at whowon.co.uk if you like the hard copies, like CDs and stuff. ISOS Network by Nicholas Briggs. Nicholas Briggs, friend of the show, a friend of Debbie's as well.
I'm actually looking at the picture of him and me right now.
According to some photographic evidence.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he's a big fan of mine.
He's a fan of yours, is he?
Yeah, big fan.
Aquitaine by Paul Morris and Simon Barnard. Say fifth Simon Doctor story.
Paul Morris.
Yeah, and Churchill Years by Phil et al.
Eyal.
All right. Like et al. I'm going to say et. Et tu, Brute. £40, that one is. It must be a set. Of course, The Diary of River Song.
Four discs, 300 minutes.
The Diary of River Song, which is something I'd like to get my hands on.
Looks good.
Yeah. Some lots of really good stuff available at whoone.co.uk. And not forgetting, of course, if you like your audio books and you'd like to download to your audio playing facility, if you go to audible.co.uk/20MB, yes, you sign up for a free trial. And during that free trial, you also get choice of a free audio book.
I have bought some books from Audible in the past, but I haven't taken them up on the free audio book thing.
That was a bit silly, wasn't it? But yeah, our listeners can take up the opportunity of a free audiobook. Now, you may not want to keep the membership forever, but obviously we hope you do for clear reasons. But if you don't want to take up the membership beyond the free trial, you still get to keep the free audiobook. So that's a pretty good deal. In my book. So, yes. Well, that's about it on that side of things, but I think we should look at news to see if anything's popped up. What do you reckon, Debbie?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
I can't find anything that comes up which is relevant because my one seems to always be about 6 or 7 weeks behind.
Apparently Face of Evil was played on BBC Four recently.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And not too bad. 141,000 viewers for episode one.
It was Movie Max or something on... our FreeSat, that's where we found the Doctor Who's today, and the Horror Channel's been playing them quite a lot as well.
Yes, it has. I've just found something on there I'd like to share on the 20MB page. Trouble is, you can never get the. I wonder if that's the link. I'll copy that, see if it works.
Toby Haydock's made a in memoriam.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to paste to the. Oh, good grief. Not if it's worked. Let's have a look, see if it works. I'll just paste it now. Oh, no, it just says Facebook.com. Let's see what happens. Nope, didn't work at all. I'll delete that.
Sure, I can do it. Hang on.
Yeah, I bet you can. I'm just trying to delete the item. I just
direct
failed to
everybody
post.
To news.
No, but I want it to be on our page. Here,
give me a second. I've almost got it.
Yeah, you can tell he's doing stuff. He's gone all share.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's gone.
There.
Done. Yeah.
Done. Remembering
Oh, be quiet. I can't understand a word you're saying. Yeah, the Christmas special got an appreciation index of 82, which isn't too bad. Obviously, if I'd been doing the appreciation index, it probably could have been something like 100 or something like that. And then I would have got lambasted again for having my opinion, well, positive opinion of a Doctor Who story. What else have we got? Press reaction. Let's see what they say. It was a theme picked up by The Guardian. Oh, sorry, that's not what they said. This is what they said. It's a wonderful Christmas gift from Moffat to see the old river return with a glimpse of her naughty ways when she's having adventures without the Doctor. I'm not going to read all of it. Radio Times, which would say slightly biased Radio Times. The Doctor is the happiest we've known him. Well, this version of the Doctor, anyway. Mm. Even at one point, flat on his back laughing. Wales Online would be quite biased, so I'm not going to say that one. In fact, all the opinions are a bit biased. Does anybody? Oh, it says, however, Den of Geek thought the episode was right in its intended slot.
Right for its intended slot. I don't really think that The Husbands of River Song is Doctor Who on top form, nor do I think it amongst the best Christmas specials since the show introduced them in 2005 at Fun. Yes, enjoyable. Yes, a good solid piece of telly. Absolutely. Pretty much what we said.
Yes, thank you very much. Right then, the Christmas Day viewing figures charts. At number 20 was Shrek the Halls on BBC One. And number 19 was Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, shown on BBC One.
What the heck is Goggles, Boggs?
If you let me read it instead of jumping ahead. just typical of a man who likes spoilers, everybody. Right, oh, I've got you.
What is it?
Shut up.
Get hit by a snowstorm this week. I'd like to see that.
Excuse me. Number 18 was BBC News. That's shown on BBC One.
Well, I know what that is.
Shut up. And 17 was Gogglesprogs. Now, Gogglesprogs is a child version of Gogglebox, which is an extremely entertaining program in which families are filmed watching certain TV shows during the week. Extremely entertaining, even though you wouldn't understand unless you watched it how entertaining it is. It's very, very good.
It doesn't sound...
Is that like my youngest daughter tends to watch this guy play video games on YouTube, and no. I do not understand.
No.
What? Yeah, I don't either.
No, this is Gogglebox. It's basically... you get to see the clips they're watching and you get their reaction to certain TV events during the week, whether it be news, whether it be rubbishy things like X Factor or whatever. You get the family's reactions, you know, they may be laughing, crying, arguing about them, whatever. It's an absolutely cracking program, but you won't appreciate how good it is without watching it. It's one of those things, if I told you, oh, it's just a program about somebody watching TV, you think that's crap. Watch it and you'll see why it's one of the most popular programs on TV at the moment. Anyway, right.
I don't 16. Like it.
Who cares? Number 16, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. That was shown on Channel 4. Number 15 was Top of the Pops Christmas Special, and that was shown on BBC One, just after Her Majesty. Was it just before Her Majesty? Just before Her Majesty, wasn't it? Number 14 was You've Been Framed with Bells On. I missed it. Damn blast. That was an ITV one. 13 was Paul O'Grady... For the what Love of Dogs at Christmas. It's a program where Paul O'Grady goes to Battersea Dogs.
No, not that. You've Been Framed with Bells On.
It's video calamities.
Video clips that people send in, a bit like YouTube before YouTube turned up.
Yeah, but they still have the program. But yeah. they nick clips from YouTube as well now, don't they?
Yeah, but people send it in. They get £250 if their clip is played of someone having or an animal having...
It's like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yes, yeah,
well, I don't know, maybe so, okay. But I will say that You've Been Framed has been going for about 30 years.
So has America's Funniest.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yes. Well, yeah.
But your program never had Jerry Beadle as a presenter at some point. Right then.
We had Bob Saget for a long time.
There you go.
Thank you. Right. Number 12 is ITV Evening News, shown on ITV One. Number 11 was Michael McIntyre's Big Christmas Show. I like that, apart from I don't like Dame Edna Everage. That was shown on BBC One. I remember, actually, Alicia came home.
Dame Edna is funny.
Alicia came home for one hour or so during the Christmas period and put this on in the other room, and she was laughing very loudly out loud while watching it. She does like Michael McIntyre, and so do I. We went to see him actually last year. Number 10 was Emmerdale, shown on ITV1.
Is that still on?
Of course it is. Well, it wouldn't have been number 10 in the charts if it wasn't still on, would it? Number 9 was Brave, shown on BBC1.
I love that.
Number 8 was EastEnders, shown on BBC.
You know the theory about Brave.
What?
You know, there's a theory about Brave. We're talking about the Pixar movie.
Yeah.
That the old woman is actually Boo from Monsters Incorporated. Because she carves the Pizza Planet truck, and there's a carving of Sully, and she travels through doors.
Yeah, but all these films have got Disney films have got special little homages if you look close enough. There was a program about it on TV last year, actually.
One of them had a rug made like of Sully's fur, didn't they? Yeah. There was something.
But there was a thing, if you look at that film, that absolutely cracking film, Big Hero 6, I think it's called.
I love
There's
that.
Loads of little characters from other Disney films in the background. Yes.
Hero 6 is great.
Why wasn't that bigger? Because that was amazing.
I don't know. But there were some other films that have got... I think there was also Mickey Mouse's ears appear as balloons going past. There's a program about it. You might be able to find it on YouTube.
Yes, hidden Mickeys are a tradition.
Yeah, I know. But there are other Disney characters that appear in these Thank you. In these animations.
Was that a hidden Mickey?
If you'll go out on my YouTube channel, you'll find a hidden Mickey that I filmed at Epcot way back in 2000.
But it's not just Mickey. I mean, even in Big Hero 6, there are other Disney characters from other animations that appear as people in the crowd running past. So, but I was going to say, there was a program on last year.
In Little Mermaid, as King Triton is approaching in his chariot at the very beginning of the film, you see Mickey, Donald, and Goofy underwater in the crowd.
There you go, then.
I hadn't spotted that.
But these sort of things are highlighted in the programme I watched last year. All right, so we got up to number 8. That was EastEnders on BBC One. And number 6 was Doctor Who.
That's number seven.
It's number seven.
Shut up interrupting me then. Right. Number eight was Eastern. Number six was seven was Doctor Who. Number six was Call the Midwife.
Ooh, he hates to be wrong.
Number five was Coronation Street. Number four was Stickman. That was rather charming. Stickman.
I love that.
Number three was Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas Special. Was hilarious.
Yeah.
Number two was Strictly Gum Dancing Christmas Special. Very, very entertaining program. Even having Abby Clancy on it, it was still quite entertaining. And number one, God knows why, because it's an absolute load of crap, Downton Bloody Abbey, the finale.
You've never seen it, but at least it's going away.
What a crap finale. Apparently it was just like the end of an old episode. They didn't kill all the cast off or anything.
Tonight it's premiering here in the States.
They didn't kill all the cast off. Well,
it's just, I tell you what, Mary, you're lucky that Kirby doesn't like it, because otherwise you'd know what the plot was by now.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I've never bothered watching it. It's like Sherlock. It's my Sherlock.
I love Sherlock.
Yeah, we only
I love Sherlock.
We this only embark on the last string of episodes tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's about it, really. I can't think of anything else. Australian ratings for Husbands of Riversong, 575,000.
Did you miss that BBC America is going to rebroadcast Series 9 with commentary and stuff?
On Eri. What's on Eri?
Commentary. From Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Facebook.
No,
starting January 30th, each episode will be annotated with inside facts, fan art, and comments.
Okay, never mind. I thought maybe commentary meant somebody who was in on the making of the show.
No, it's going to be selected tweets.
Sorry, where was this? Where are they doing this?
Oh, yeah.
BBC America.
Oh, well, we're going to bloody get to see it, weren't we?
I thought it'd be people chatting. I liked that.
Well, something did pop
up. Unfortunately, watching Doctor Who on BBC America is really horrible with all the ads.
I was going to say, is it fraught with adverts?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you tape it and then you just buzz through the ads and then it doesn't matter.
Tape? Who uses tape?
Oh, leave her alone.
I know what she's
Debbie, about. Tell Kirby to leave Mary alone.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. Pipe down. Pipe down.
Get off her.
Anyway. Yeah. Oh. Well, maybe don't do that.
Oh, this is going out too. Right then. The new Sonic Screwdriver app, which I mentioned last week, they need to bring out the actual screwdriver itself, don't they?
Yes, they do. Has anyone purchased it? Is it worth my purchasing it?
Well, you'll buy it anyway, Kirby.
Not necessarily. I showed it to Julia, and she said, don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes a noise. It doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
enjoy it. It makes noises for a whole bunch of different screwdrivers.
But Kirby makes noises and doesn't actually do anything. You're not going to buy that, are you?
I got it, and you have to pay for upgrades and things. It was just like, oh, well, I don't want it that much.
Exactly. Don't bother.
Do you have to pay for upgrades, really?
Yes.
Anyway. Anybody think of anything else that we'd like to add to this week's episode before we talk about next week's story, which is going to be The Savages? I'm looking forward to that because I never really... I think I've listened to the audio once, but I'm looking forward to seeing any possible reconstructions that might be available to view.
Yeah, well, I was a bit disappointed. Unfortunately, Zabi Overlord...
Well, you watched it already?
No. The Gunfighters. Yeah. Well, I watched it on Daily Motion and Zabi Overlord had got his numbers wrong.
Oh,
so I had to go with a slightly different... different version.
I had the Gunfighters DVD for years and years since it came out. It's of course it's one of the later DVDs, but
I'm just posting a sad character for Andy to let him know that we're sad that he couldn't continue with
some Star Wars ones. I could post a few up.
I tell you what, I did watch a film I really enjoyed this week that we got it at home on Blu-ray, actually. We've had it for a while, and we have so many films that Deb buys and we haven't got the time to watch, and they just sort of end up creating a pile. But this one we actually did watch over the Christmas period. It's a film called Inside Out. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, Inside Out is great.
Really, really good. What I liked specifically about it is when I was quite a young person, I used to imagine there were these people inside my head controlling me and driving me and operating me and stuff like that. So that's what I liked about it, because it just reminded me of my imagination at the time.
Someone on YouTube recently took the DVD of Inside Out and removed all of the inside parts, leaving the story of just the girl. It's extremely depressing.
Oh, well, you weren't that, was it?
Yeah, there's another uploader with a long name, Doctor Who Classica.blogspot.com. It looks like he's put the Savages up with subtitles.
Okay.
So just search the Savages.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good look through.
And there's also Mr. Meat Science has it up with subtitles. A little easier to remember, though.
I don't know which version I've got. I'd have to start watching it.
Yeah, right. So just look up the Savages on Daily Motion, and there's.
Well, I've already got. My source has already provided me with reconstructions.
It's time to stop winding up Kirby and to start winding up the show. I imagine next week we'll probably be recording on Sunday.
Yay!
Which will be the 10th. Is that all right with you, lovely Debbie?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
And what about you, Debbie Melrose?
And Adam, you get a bath in next time.
And probably not. No, I'll probably still have a bath and still be harassed.
Up on the other side of the bathroom.
I'll still be harassed as to not being allowed to spend time.
When
in
are
the
we going to have Debbie practice recording?
Yeah.
The convention is coming up.
I know.
In about 3 months.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, but what if she practices and it goes pear shaped?
Oh, thanks. Your face is amazing.
Oh, thanks. That's what Deadpool is saying.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, all right. Then. Whenever. Well, maybe we should do it on a Monday, something like that.
You know?
If we do it on a Monday at some point.
Because then I can hang.
Pardon?
You heard.
No, I didn't. I heard bang.
Then we can hang.
Oh, hang. Sorry.
Oh, the Savages doesn't have a whole lot.
A big pardon?
At all.
Whole lot of what?
Actual footage. A few brief off-air 8mm film recordings made by fans represent the only clips.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, which include the departure of Steven, though.
Yeah, okay, fine, good. Anyway, right, so until next week.
Oh, that's in Lost in Time. Sake. Okay, we can watch those on the Lost in Time.
Can't even do the end of the show without an interruption. Anyway.
What?
God knows who's going to be on the show next week. But until then.
Sunday,
thank you
Sunday,
for listening
Sunday.
To the show. Happy New Year. And,
Happy New Year, all.
Hope Reese is back, but I'll probably be hoping that for the next 12
it.
Months.
As long as we're doing Old Who, I'm sure he won't.
Hang on, I've got wind. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Is an AVVServices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.